you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hi, welcome to the Modern Waiter podcast. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter, where we discuss all things restaurant business. Learn something. Laugh at something. On today's episode, we explore the concept that the customer is always right. And joining the show to explore that concept is Gabrielle Potier and John Giacconi. But first, the intro.
I'm tired of working deadbeat jobs for lame pay. I'm tired of getting fired and hired the same day. If you know the rules of the game, then you'll stay. And if you don't, then you'll be a pawn while they play. I'm tired of working deadbeat jobs for lame pay.
As usual, I'm joined by my good friend, Danny Davila.
What up, what up, what up?
Thank you, Gabby, and thank you, John, for joining us from Quebec.
How you doing, guys?
Thank you for having us on today.
I appreciate you taking the time. Now, at a certain point in retail service and service industry, the customer's always right was a concept designed to place the customer in a value position. And given today's culture, there's like online reviews and the culture of Karens and things like that. How does that phrase resonate with you?
I think that that concept started off with very good intentions. I think I did my research last night on it, being like, who's the guy who invented it? Who did it? Who was it? And I think it was more because like customers weren't treated well like way back when, right? So they kind of invented this concept to be like every complaint is valid.
Okay.
So it was kind of like a pushback against, you know, the big companies, but then kind of taken to another level these days with how you can kind of get revenge online, you know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of been really, I think, exaggerated, but you know, the customer is always right. It is something that has kind of taken a new form in terms of I can do anything I want because I'm a customer.
Yeah, see, that's the difference. Yeah, they're not always right. They're right until they're wrong. And then when they're wrong, they're wrong.
Yeah, because like if you use the customer's already always right, like you could come into my restaurant and spit on the floor and be like, well, where's my soda? You know, like it's you can't really like people seem to take that literally, but I like they don't know that it's a pushback against when it was really the big company just not caring about the customer.
Now that makes a lot of sense because I don't agree with that at all. You know, the customer is always right as a phrase, but the sentiment is there. You know, the sentiment is basically, you know, treat the customer as if they're always right. Uh-huh. You know, meaning, yeah, you know, you want to make them happy, and that's pretty much the goal. So let's give everybody some background and let's tell them where you are.
Gabby, why don't you run through where we're at?
We are in Montreal, Quebec.
Okay.
Our restaurant is in a slightly more affluent neighborhood called Westmount. We have a really great, really loyal clientele, which we're super appreciative of. Do you have anything to add to
I was
that?
Waiting for the that being said part.
No. We have very, very wonderful guests.
They're nice, but
who are always right.
Yeah.
Until they're not.
No, exactly. I think that she was saying it's like a relatively more affluent, but this is one of the most affluent neighborhoods in Canada. It comes with a lot of kind of baggage and listen, 95% of our customers are great. Yeah. It's kind of the 5% that ruin it for everybody. And so that's kind of the background here but the thing is, because of COVID and because of limited seating, we've kind of been able to filter through the ones that are terrible.
Okay.
Which has actually been great because, you know, you're taking the real estate we had, which is now limited. And basically, like, if they're annoying on the phone, you're not coming. You know, it's very, very simple. So
you made
the pandemic is, what's that?
As you said, if they're annoying on the phone, is that the only way that are you reservation based?
We are a reservation base, and actually we currently are doing 90% of our reservations online.
Okay.
And we only answer the phone between 2 and 4 p.m.
Okay. And do you do lunch and dinner service or just dinner?
I'm doing Monday to Friday dinner only.
Okay.
Because that's what I have as far as staffing, and I'm not even open Saturday, Sunday.
Oh, wow. Okay, so...
Living the dream. Yes.
That
living
is,
the dream.
That is banker's hours, my friend, almost.
By the way, I'm hiring, man. You want weekends off?
Well, I will come to Montreal once you open up them borders, buddy.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
There is that.
So, through the lens of the customer's always right, what challenges do you have in marrying what the government's guidelines for reopening with what your customers' expectations or what they just did, what they want?
This has been like such a loaded question, because it's been a daily struggle. Is we've discovered that the customers are more excited to go out than we could actually legally and also from a matter of labor take care of. Like, I can't take a group.
Okay.
You know what I mean? People are like, oh man, like great, like you're open, you can take my group for my birthday. I'm like, nah man, like I don't want to take a group of 15 people, and B, like I don't have the staff, and C, we're not even allowed.
So what's your limit? Limit over there?
Right now, as of now, tables inside is maximum 10.
Okay.
Tables outside is maximum 20. Because it's kind of, Montreal has been pretty open, relatively speaking, mm-hmm. compared to the rest of Canada, because we had a complete curfew. We had a curfew for 4 months. Everyone in their house by 9. And whether or not you think that contributes to a drop in cases is up to, we'll find that out in 10 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we're pretty good here. Like, we have like 20 cases a day in Montreal.
Fantastic.
Which is relative, like, it's nothing.
Yeah.
But Gabby can tell you how, like, we've both basically been saying no to people for 6 weeks.
Yeah. Which sometimes feels very liberating to just say no, sorry. No.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, yeah, no. Still no.
Well, it's also like we can't accommodate you because of checks, notes, COVID restrictions, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry, it's checks, notes again. Still a pandemic.
Yeah, yeah.
People kind of forgot. A lot of our customers are double vaccinated, so they think that maybe rules shouldn't apply to them in the way that they do still apply.
Okay.
The government hasn't been super clear with the public in general about it. So I understand some confusion and some sort of like, well, why can't you take my group of 20 people?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, well,
they've kind of left it up to us to police and inform what the regulations are, which has been, once again, as she's saying, kind of liberating, because you can just say no, but it's also been quite taxing. Like, you know, playing cop, like put your mask on, stop talking to your friend. Your friend doesn't want to talk to you anyways. Like, because also everyone here knows each other. It's a small, tight-knit community. So to get someone to the table is often like he makes 3 stops at other tables, which legally right now we're not allowed to.
Okay. They have to go directly to the table.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mask on while standing, mask off while sitting, no talking at other tables. That's the one thing that's clear.
Wait, what? No talking at the table?
No talking to other tables.
Oh, to other tables.
Oh, okay. Just, like, go out with your buddies. I was like, no talking.
Yeah. No talking. Okay. Just I give them a pencil and a paper. Just order.
And you walk around with a ruler and you slap their knuckles with it. Yeah.
But that's actually been like, as a restaurant operator, kind of a bit great that we have these type of restrictions that I have to enforce. Because like, for once, I'm like, you, sit down. You, stop talking to your friend. No, I can't. Like, it's been like I'm kind of like semi enjoying the fact that like we have all this this kind of regulatory power at tables. I'm actually not, because it's very tiring. But sometimes you're like, dude, like get out of the way, man. Sit down.
Yeah, yeah.
It is. Instead of the customer always being right, you're basically constantly telling them that they're wrong.
Yeah, it's great.
And actually, they don't want to hear it though.
Yeah, they don't.
Especially if they're not.
No, you can't do that. Do you mean I?
They are not compliant.
No. Yes, non-compliant. 2 demerits.
Yeah. But what about you guys? Like, how open is it? Like, how, like, is it up to the restaurant to enforce what's going on? But, or is also like, America, you guys do what you want.
Okay, it's America, so we do what we want.
The United States of America isn't very united. You're going to find out. So each state has its own set of challenges, its own set of rules and things like that. Because geographically, what would work in New York City is not going to work in Montana. So... Florida, we're in South Florida, and Florida in particular has been one of the first, because we have a lot of open air, open spaces, and the climate to take advantage of it. A lot of our restaurants do have an outside component. And so we shut down last year, Danny, for what, 2 months?
Yeah, we shut down from March 15th, and I think the reopen date was like the third week in May. And then, but we, you know, we were under restrictions pretty much all summer until almost the new year. And then things started to lighten up once we started to get vaccines.
Yes. Yeah. So during our restrictions, it was, you know, parties, I believe our cap on parties were six to eight or something like that.
Small, like
they
six.
Kept moving the goalposts too. So it was really confusing. You know, food service had to wear gloves. You always had to wear a mask if you're, I mean, still now, now that things are, you know, relaxed, it's up to the restaurant. And so most restaurant employees have to wear a mask, but they don't have to. Some, as far as some establishments I've gone to, and the employees don't really even wear a mask.
My place is a little more corporate than Marlins, and you were allowed, the mask came off as long as you were fully vaccinated. You still have to wear a mask if you're not.
Okay. Because, you know, in Quebec, actually, they're going to be doing passports. Like, and that is, if the case count goes up, you're going to have a paper being like, I'm allowed to go in a restaurant. And if you're not vaccinated, you can't go.
Oh, okay. Wow.
But that is, yeah, but that's only if there's a flare-up. And like, listen, do I disagree with that? Kind of no. I think it's, you know, it's
better than shutting you down.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, but like, you can go on a rights and freedoms thing. But it's like, also, like, if you're going to ruin things for everyone, like, you know, just don't come, right? Because also, like, we were in the Stanley Cup Finals, which you guys may or may not know about because you whooped us, and we only had 2,000 fans allowed at the game.
Oh,
you know,
okay,
and that kind of was 2,000. So that was kind of like a precursor to people being like, "Listen, there's 20 cases a day. What are we doing here?"
Mm-hmm.
So now, last week they were like, "You know what? You're gonna get a QR code, and in September, if it goes up, you can still go to restaurants, and the people who aren't vaccinated can't go."
Okay, so let's get to, do you ever have a customer that's just not fit? So if you have a customer, sometimes we've had guests that come in and they're essentially regulars, not, you know, a full regular, but they, oh, every time we come here, this and that, and they're constantly being a pain. And then you start to wonder, why is it that you decide to come here if you're going to...
But that's the thing. I've often said, like, and this is something I've kind of, my filter has been gone since COVID. When I hear, like, every time I come here, this, I'm just like,
then why do you come back?
Like, you need to be making better decisions in your life if you hate my restaurant so much. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and I've said that. It's like,
wow.
And I say as a joke sometimes, but half serious, people are like, you know what? My other favorite restaurant, they let me do this. I'm like, how about you go there? You know?
Yeah.
Like, go there. You know? Like, we're going to be doing, I'm going to be doing me here and you're going to do what? But like, Gabby can tell you that the last time I was here and every time I come here, this is like basically people saying, hi, how are you?
Yeah.
Now, John, what advice do you give to your managers when dealing with customers' complaints? You know, I know it can be really challenging because sometimes we have to have the veil of we're running a business and we want to make things right. But if you're going to step, you don't want to make it personal, but you, what advice do you give to your managers?
I don't know, Gabby. What advice do I give you? Because I often black out during
PTSD is just blocked from your mind after it happens.
Yeah, no. Oh, I think that every customer should be given the benefit of the doubt. I think that, and I do think if someone doesn't like something, like you shouldn't start arguing at the table with them. I don't think that that's, we are in the service industry, you know?
Yeah.
And if someone doesn't like something, my goal for you is to enjoy your time. And I'll take the hit if I need to. When it becomes problematic, if this becomes habitual and this becomes unreasonable, if the person just doesn't like food, I can't help it. You know what I mean? So like, well, I've actually said to people like who've tasted like all the wines on my wine list, I'm like, have you ever considered that you don't like wine? Like maybe you just don't like wine. If you keep trying all wine, not this one. You know, you might not like them, but Gabby will tell you, I think that it's politeness, but once they reach a certain point, it's just a get out.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. We have to draw a line for sure. Cause otherwise it just especially now, becomes kind of abusive because people are so I guess, starving for the normal that they used to have, you know, where they're going out and they're seeing friends and they're treated a certain way, that they're just kind of acting a little bit more childish and just kind of like, give me this, give me that, because they think we've also been starving and suffering, which we have. The restaurant industry took a huge hit.
Oh, big time.
So like, as much as we try to deal with people kindly and try to make them have the best experience possible, there's definitely lines that we've been drawing, and I think we've been drawing them more severely too, more sternly
and more clear about what we want to accommodate here.
Okay.
And it's been actually really a reset in terms of, and one of the things is not answering the phones anymore, because it became a problem where we're getting calls, and like most of the phone calls were arguing with people about why I won't take their groups and arguing with people about why I have no room. So eventually, like, I remember it was the second night, I'm like, Gabby, unplug the phones.
So do you have like a ring back that when it rings, it says, we do not take, parties of 10 or more. You just lay out the rules.
The rules are laid out on my Instagram account,
okay,
which are pretty clear. But it basically says, like, listen, we answer the phone between 2 and 4, but like, we don't. Here's the thing. If you're not physically capable of using a reservation system on your phone, is this someone you really want to accommodate? Like, if you know what I mean? Like, someone who's not willing to learn or get their kids to do it for them. Like, if you're calling a restaurant, like, it's something that, like, we've noticed that since we reopened, the demographic has gone down like 20 years. And you know why?
Okay.
We don't answer the phones.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Now, you're right about the guests, though. They have been out of control, okay, since this whole thing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They went in their house, and they came out, and they forgot how to act completely.
Danny, they never knew how to act. It's just
you're right.
You know, we've been here the whole time taking it to the face. So it's sometimes I feel like it's the stigma of the DMV, right? You deal with it so many times with the same questions, with the same BS, with the same circular logic. Like, so what if I sit next to them at this table and then we just pull the tables together, you know? And you're like, listen, I'm not going to argue with you. We can't put a big table together for, you know, 24 people. And it's so funny.
What if I make 12 reservations of 2 people? What about that? Why can't you do that? I don't understand. We basically like, and that's the problem. You don't understand.
True.
And that's the problem. It's not even that. It's just give me. Like, yeah. No.
I've had people straight up be like, I'm like, I want to be a table of 8. Oh, I'm God. Like, no. And then they reserve. Okay, I'll reserve for 4. I'm like, cool. They go in their car and they see, I see another table for 4 available at the same time. That means you can take my group. I'm like, you know what?
And then actually, came back.
I'm like, actually, you know what that means? That means that I'm canceling your reservation and you're not coming. That's what I've said. You're just not coming.
Yeah.
No. You haven't even set foot into the restaurant. You haven't even spent a dime. You're already busting my balls. So no. This is not
that's just a preview. That's a preview of that's a preview of what they would give you coming into your place.
Like, exactly. Yeah.
If this were an audition, you're getting sent home. No way. Like, you're coming in already calling the shots. Like, I can't even call shots in my own restaurant. You're not gonna call the shots.
True.
But that's what we've done, is that the second people are like, well, how come you can't? It's like, you know what? We're not doing it. Now imagine what happens when they order their salmon, if they're being like that.
Oh, man.
We're screwed.
Well done, sauce on the side.
We're done.
Well done, sauce on the side. Yeah. So the customer's always right, and the employees are your greatest asset. Tell me, you mentioned earlier about labor. What are your labor challenges at the moment?
My labor challenges is, I think that in terms of serving staff, I did a mass hiring. Mm-hmm. And because there was such a shortage of labor, I've hired a lot of like entry-level positions of people who have no experience, which was the only way I could kind of fill these positions, like busboys.
And why are they open? Are they open because people are health conscious as far as fear COVID?
Or? Not at all. I don't know if you guys know, in Canada, this is part of the problem, but not the entire problem. Because restaurants and businesses were closed, the government was paying people basically it's like everyone was on unemployment for the last year and a half.
Okay.
So people are choosing to stay home and collect like 500 a week.
Okay.
Something like that. Yeah.
500 a week instead of going to work.
So it's a similar thing that's happening here.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
So basically people are, and this was a thing that saved us initially, like to like save workers. And because it was like, it was called the CERB, which is like the emergency, whatever. And basically people who lost their jobs got pretty like very advantageous unemployment insurance, unemployment. They were just like, and listen, it's Canada. It's socialist. Like I tell people in the States that, and also like, do you realize the government was paying 80% of our rent during the pandemic?
Wow.
And 80% of our labor cost.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. That.
No, I tell that to Americans and they're like, but how?
Yeah, yeah. Does that even like, work? You know, massive.
But you're talking like, this is a socialist country, right? Like that's what happens in times of extreme. Like the restaurant business in Montreal would have been completely obliterated if it wasn't for this, because we've been shut down more or less, except for 4 months last summer, for 18 months.
That is interesting to learn.
Yeah.
Oh, so they let you open in the summer and then they close you guys back down again?
Yeah, we were open from like June till September, and then they closed us from September to May.
Man.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna need your help, okay? We did a show on mispronunciations recently in the restaurant, and the concept was that there's so many borrowed proper names or nouns of menu items, whether it's the crème brûlée or, you know, I need your help in pronouncing some of the French wine. There are some mispronunciations, particularly in French, that we want to explore. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to take a quick break.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right, so what food and wine items do you notice that gets butchered in the restaurant industry?
Where to begin? Definitely regions of France, and grape names. Like people say Sauvignon Blanc, mm-hmm, and pronounce the C at the end. That drives me nuts.
Okay, is Blanc.
The C is silent. Okay. That drives me crazy.
I'm taking notes, like, by the
people,
way.
I know, yeah. Go, good. I hope so. There's also do people say Chablis?
Yes. Yes.
Instead of Chablis?
They do.
Yeah.
How?
But I don't know, because everyone's bilingual here, man.
Oh, well.
Everyone's bilingual.
Maybe I should ask, let's get some for him to correct, right?
Okay,
let's do that.
Am I saying it correct? This is not me. This is the popular, how it occurs for me. Veuve Clicquot.
Ooh. It was okay. It was good.
That was like a 6 on 10.
It was a 6 on 10.
6 on 10.
Veuve Clicquot.
Veuve. Danny, we're learning here.
Yeah, I didn't know that at all.
Okay. So it's, what about, so it's Veuve Clicquot.
Very, that's, yes. Excellent. Okay. 10 on 10.
All right. Let's see. What about the creme brulee?
That's good.
That's good. Yeah,
I'm giving you like that. I'm giving you full points, confidence points as well.
Okay,
you're just like, what about the creme brulee, dude?
All right,
good.
And the Moët And
that's fine.
And
it's
Shandong. It's Moët Chandon, right?
That's good.
Okay.
That's good, man. We're not gonna be too picky here.
So like be picky, be specific. So like what's the benchmark in the because it's not Moët, right? It's Moët.
It's Moët Chandon.
Moët Chandon. Okay.
Yeah, but the thing is also like I always give people full points for trying. And that's how we are in Quebec. Like, cause there's a kind of a French versus English language here thing.
Okay.
And what people think get upset about is people who refuse to learn.
Yeah. So try to do this.
I like that. That's very inviting.
Not always. Like if a French person comes here, and my server isn't good at French, what they'll do is like, they'll only care if the server doesn't try.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about the Puy Fusé?
Puy Fusé.
Oh, Fusé.
Dude, you're knocking out of the park, man. You got this.
All right. Danny, you have any?
Rough start.
No, you're good.
Rough start. I mean, I ask you because
I've been trying to think the whole time
how to pronounce your name, and it really helped.
Oh, how do you say the Italian region that starts with CH?
The Italian region.
I get a lot of Chianti's.
Like Chianti?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, again. People say Chianti a lot.
Wow. Okay. I haven't heard that one as much.
Really?
Yes.
Maybe you're going to shame us.
Then. No, because we get, so you, obviously you're in Quebec. We get a lot of the Spanish words down here because we have a big Spanish culture. So
yeah. Yeah. But his name is definitely predominantly Italian, right? You're Italian, aren't you?
Yeah. My dad's born there. Yeah.
So he has the Italian and the French.
He has some, like, vaginas and stuff.
Oh, vaginas.
Yes, that is actually a thing. And then I'll have one more. I researched this one, but I couldn't research how it's said. So I'm gonna definitely need your help. Le client n'a jamais tort.
Dude, you're crushing it. Le client n'a jamais tort is that's Ritz, no? That's from the Ritz-Carlton restaurant.
Okay.
He, as I was doing my research on who invented this, he was the one that took the customers are always right. And Mr. Ritz, not of crackers, applied that to different Ritz. Is it though?
I don't know. Imagine.
Can you imagine? I'm going to research that. Oh, is Ritz Carlton Ritz crackers?
What an empire.
What an empire.
No. The name the Ritz comes from, for the crackers, it's owned by Nabisco, so it can't be the same guy.
Why not? Can't be the
same
guy.
What if they like stole his crackers?
I think they stole the idea because of the Ritz has been around probably before the crackers. I think the Ritz is a hotel.
Really, what came first, the Ritz or the crackers?
I think the Ritz hotel came before the cracker, and they call it the Ritz, so, so it fits that style of clientele.
What were we saying before? Oh, yes. Le client n'a jamais tort.
Le client n'a jamais tort. That's good, man. You're doing good.
That's awesome.
You're doing good, honestly. And that's like I'm very impressed, actually.
I would have messed that word all up. So I don't know.
Yeah, so I mean that.
Yeah, why is he the only one doing it? Why we got to get you?
Because he didn't give me any notes for that one.
Well, here's a dynamic that John and Gabby, I got to tell you about. You saw how he threw me under the bus, like I didn't give him any notes. I can't possibly give him any notes because he doesn't do any prep for the show ever. That's his thing.
Oh, okay.
I freestyle.
He's winging it, yeah. You know?
He's a seat of the pants type of person.
By the way, Ritz crackers, it's not
looking it up right now.
No.
Confirmed. Not the same empire.
Confirmed. Different crackers.
That was layered with meaning.
I love it.
That was like 40% on purpose.
That was spot on. 100% on point.
I
was thinking it before, and I'm like, I'm not going to say it, but then it just came
out. Oh, man, that was awesome.
This is the pandemic filter thing. You're like, pandemic filter, say it.
Sometimes the comedy is too good for me to filter.
You can't pass it up.
Yeah. You can't. No.
Just let it be. It's okay.
Opportunities like this come once.
Yeah. You got, sometimes you got to just talk it out.
Now, Gabby, help me to understand about your legendary key lime pie.
Oh, you did do your research
in Montreal. Cool. Legendary key lime pie.
If there's key lime pie, I'm there. So I'll tell you how I like my key lime pie. I like mine right at the edge of sweet and tart. Some key lime pies lean more sweet, and I'm not a big fan. And I like a little bit more of a generous graham cracker crust. How do you make yours?
Pretty much like that, whipped cream topping.
Okay.
Is that the, and we have a lot of customers that go down to Florida, a lot of snowbirds.
Okay.
And I'm not going to brag too much, but some of them have said that it's just as good, if not better than, what's the classic, Joe's Crab Shack?
Joe's.
It can't be Crab Shack because that's like a.
It's Joe's Stone Crab.
Yes. Joe's Stone Crab.
By the way, is that good for people who live in Florida, or is it good for tourists?
It's good for everyone.
Okay, yeah.
Good.
Okay, because I'm often like you know when someone doesn't live in a place, like, oh, I go here, and then if you just find out it's a tourist trap. So it's not a tourist trap. It's just legit.
It's legit. It's a very, it's popular, you know, you're going to have to do some work getting in, and they do have genuinely have good food.
They answer the phones.
I can only imagine. I can only imagine that they do.
If we go there, we're
going to be right. Suckers. Suckers. Now, Gabby, for you, which Muppet baby will make the best manager?
Oh.
Which what?
Muppet baby.
Oh, boy.
Do you like Miss Piggy?
Oh, man. She would be...
She just kind of bosses everybody around, and I don't think that even as a Muppet baby, I don't really think that she takes any...
Yeah, she's not having that. I agree with that a little bit.
Not to swear any shit from
anyone. That's true. Yeah. That is true. Yeah. I can't imagine.
She always throwing that frog around.
I know. I feel like Kermit would be the pushover waiter who always wants to do the extra nice thing for the guest.
Kermit would definitely be a waiter.
It's just like, oh, yeah, sure. Okay, you can have an extra refill. No problem.
I feel like Grover would do the most.
Yes.
Grover would he would be a bit too overextended, I think.
Now...
Yeah, and he would try to be like in every section, being friends with everyone, helping everybody out, and then end up like, I don't know, losing his mind, running around the dining room.
Yeah, he would. I definitely worked with a Grover before.
I think we all have at least one or two Grovers employed.
I think I have one here currently.
Now, I mean, try to help me to understand the no mods thing.
The no mods thing?
Oh my God. For the burgers?
Well, basically, like, the hamburger for me in a restaurant is the most problematic item by far.
Wow.
Because it's not one item. It's actually, like, if you do the math, about 1,000 items. Because it's burger, medium rare, medium, medium well, this. And then you go into the tree, you know, and then after... I want cheese, I want bacon, I want this, I want that. So we have a legendary burger here. We grind it in-house, and it became kind of like the only thing people would order.
What's the name
of
it?
So we just said, you know what?
What's the name of it? So
it's called a hamburger. Oh. It's normal. There's nothing. It's nothing
we call
crazy.
It the tavern burger.
The tavern That's, burger, whatever.
Okay.
You know. Sometimes you do it with Wagyu beef. So eventually it was becoming the only thing people would order. So we just took it off the menu completely. And it was a revolt, you know.
People actually walked out.
People walked like,
well, because you made a tasty burger. Come on now,
burger back on there.
That's one tasty burger.
Then we brought it back, but we took the power back, and we're like, it comes one way. That's it.
Yeah. You can choose how it's cooked. You can choose to add cheese. That's all.
That's it.
Well, that's the only options they ever had, anyways. That should have been the only options they ever had, anyways.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
But now the thing is, like, the threat is always, like, people getting it if they're not happy. I'm just like, it's off the menu. So people are just, like, eating it either way. I remember asking him, like, do you want a french fry or a salad? The guy's like, I don't care, man. Just give me, just give me whatever you want. Like, it's apparently that good. But part of the reason that it's that good is because we took it away.
Ah.
We took it away from them. And now we only give it to them when... we see fit. Oh, by the way, apparently we're doing it tonight.
My precious.
First time since the reopen.
Wow.
I'm going to have to call in sick.
Oh, she's feeling the effects from her second shot now. Yeah,
all of a sudden mentioned burgers. I'm like, oh, my arm.
Oh, no.
I'm feeling flush. I'm not going to make it.
I'm feeling flushed. Well, she had those two yesterday. That's why.
Yeah, actually.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So it would be legitimate that I could call in sick if we're doing burgers.
You're already not working that time.
He's like, I already know you're fine. All right. And then we're going to leave on this last suggestion for you. I'm coming to your city. Where do I stop first? Besides your place, as far as to just not a restaurant wise, just to see, you know, what's an attraction for your city?
Oh, so loaded. Like the first thing you get off the plane, what are you doing? Yeah. I think if it's nice, you could just walk around Mount Royal.
Okay.
Which is like basically a mountain located right in the middle of the city. Just take a look at all the people going around. It's really kind of like the place to be in the summer. Everyone's hanging out there. Everyone's sitting on the grass. And it's also like you're very central. So you could walk to the Plateau, which is one of our hip neighborhoods. You could walk to the old Port of Montreal. Montreal is very kind of centralized in the more downtown area with a lot of neighborhoods. Okay. But you definitely got to check out the Mount Royal, man, and just look at the beautiful view we have.
Awesome. So tell
when we open up our borders.
Tell everyone how they can reach out to you. I know it's not by phone, so.
don't be calling me.
Only between 2 and 4 can you call, first of all.
Yeah. I don't care if your name is Ritz. The best way to reach us is DM us on Instagram. There's @TavernSquare.
Okay.
That's tavern with an E, which is the French pronunciation. Or you could check me out at Bromelier MTL. That's right, Bromelier. Get it?
Yes, I like it.
Bromelier MTL, that's the best way. Or you can reserve with us through Resy, and that's the best way to reserve would be through there. And we're happy to have you, you know, whenever you want. Just no groups to 6.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much. Thank you, John. Thank you, Gabby. And we definitely will have to make it up to Quebec once the borders open up and you let us drive across, or fly across, I should say. It's too far to drive.
It's the West Coast, right? You're on the West Coast.
No, East.
East Coast? Or
East Coast.
Oh, East Coast. Oh,
they're,
yeah.
They're drive straight up.
We're like, it's like New York.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The same, like right on the East Coast there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll make that trip.
You got it, guys.
Reach out to us. We're
not making a reservation, though. We're just coming in.
But I see 2 tables there. What kind
of the customer is wrong, Bob. I'm Marlon Joseph. We do this for you each and every week here at the Modern Waiter Podcast. Reach out to me. I'm active on Instagram at the Modern Waiter Podcast. If you want to reach out to me via email, themodernwaiter@gmail.com. I do answer my messages, and I've met several people through there and get show suggestions, as in the one that I'm doing right now. And look out for Shift Drinks on Friday, and check out the podcast in our network. We are part of the One Star Podcast Network, the one stop shop for your restaurant related podcast. We have the Copper and Heat, the Sidework Podcast, In Your Mouth Podcast, and Macaroni Zone, and Confessions of a Server. Definitely, definitely. Check them out and let us know how it is. Thank you once again, John and Gabby. And we'll keep in touch. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter.
I'm Dan DeVilla. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe.
And we'll see you next time.
Later.
Melodic flow as the beat goes pop, pop. Who the hell can stop that? Initiated, wake up with your head cracked, spitting nasty like the pimples on your back. Focused on pushing units from Cali to Cacabac. Got it moving, it's just keeping it on track. That's the opposition, talking superstition. Better yet, the intuition. Realize